The date was 2011, and the place was Fargo, North Dakota. And Donna, the dear lady, called a local radio station because she wanted to complain. She wanted to complain greatly about all of the deer crossing the I-94. Why in the world are you putting up these deer crossing signs on the interstate? You should move them to a different highway that has less traffic. And she called and she talked with them for an extended period of time, trying to get them to understand how important and dangerous it is to have the deer cross the interstate. And they tried to explain to her, those signs aren't for the deer, they're for drivers to be aware that deer are coming. She realized they were not getting it. She called back the next day to complain a second time. And finally, after 2 days of complaining, they finally got to the point where she actually understood that deer can't read. Deer do not read the signs. The signs are for us. We complain about the weather. We complain about it's food, sports, just about anything we complain about. We're really good at complaining, aren't we? If there's something to complain about, we can find it and we can just go off for an extended period of time talking about it, can't we? But one of the things people love to complain the most about is other people. I know nobody here does that, am I right? We never complain about other people, do we? But this morning I want to take us to a time, take some time and take us back to a time in Israel's history. And look at a situation in the wilderness. Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. He has freed them from slavery. And if you have your Bibles, flip over to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to tackle a good chunk of this chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole portion of it. I'm going to read little bits and pieces here, but I'm going to tell you the story and bring out a few highlight verses as I tell you this story. So flip to Numbers 11 if you have it. And Moses has been empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is leading and dealing with the Israelite people in the wilderness. Their numbers are somewhere between 1 and 2 million people. He's trying to lead this massive group of people. And there's a lot of logistical things going on, but they start complaining. They are mumbling, they are grumbling, they're complaining all the time. And the murmuring and the complaining of the people is against God, and against Moses himself. And has pushed Moses to the breaking point, and God starts to send down fire on these naysaying complainers. They just are so fed up. And the result is God gets angry and consumes the outskirts of the camp with fire from heaven. And Moses is caught in the middle. And he cries out to God for mercy, which results in God's anger being subsided. And the people, for a short time later, they what do? They start complaining again. Because that's what we do. And they start complaining against God's provisions. The mouths open and the words roll out and assault the Lord himself, complaining once again. It once again begins spreading throughout the millions of people of God. And God is being ridiculed and criticized for what he has provided them. And the Bible says in verse 4, if we only had meat to eat, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite if we never see anything but this manna. So, just to understand this, yes, you got fish for free somehow. Probably had to fish for them yourselves. You had what looks like a very unusual salad of cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. I'm not sure if that really goes together very well, but I understand what they're saying. All this fresh produce. But all we have now is manna. This light, flaky, free, just outside my tent every morning, provided by God. Something that fills my belly, had the sweet taste of coriander. And Moses is stuck in the middle. And he has had enough of being in the middle between the people and God. And he becomes overwhelmed to the point of wanting out at any cost in leading these people. He is so fed up with them. He even says in verse 15, "If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now." Their complaining has driven Moses to the point of wanting out permanently. And he says to God, "God, just take me now. I'm done with this." They don't appreciate God. They don't appreciate the miracles of God, the supernatural provision of manna. God gives them stuff every single day. They can see God's presence every single day. This is the time where they had a pillar of cloud by day over the tabernacle. They had a pillar of fire at night. God's presence was there. And if they didn't see that or somehow missed that in the sky, if they ever walked up and talked to Moses, his face was glowing from the radiance of God's Shekinah glory. They knew God was there, and yet they still do nothing but complain. Moses is empowered by the Holy Spirit for his task, but he is overwhelmed and looking to God for help with this huge burden. And so God then tells Moses to choose 70 leaders and bring them to the tabernacle so that they would be empowered with the same spirit that Moses has. God will descend and place on these men his Holy Spirit to help Moses lead through them to deal with the people and the stress. And so Moses did as he was told to do. And it says in verse 25, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of that spirit that was on him and put that spirit on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again." Now, something we need to understand, this is very, very important for us to understand, an observation from the scriptures about the Holy Spirit was that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and goes. Well, in the New Testament, he is with us always. We need to understand this. very few cases, Moses and these 70 men are exceptions where God's Spirit was given to them and they had that for the remainder of their life. Other men like Samson, well, he got it for a moment to fight a lion. He got it for a moment to push down some pillars. He got it for a moment. He got it for a moment. Other men and women received the Spirit for just a moment. And that is a huge difference. And in Numbers 11, we have the story of Moses, the people complaining, the cry of Moses to the Lord, and his reply to Moses with a solution to ease the pressure of leading so many people who do nothing but complain. And he places his Spirit on Moses and the 70 elders, and the Holy Spirit is given on others to perform the role of service and leadership, as well as Moses. And the sign of the Spirit on these men is that they begin to prophesy. They spoke the words of God. Now, as believers, we all need to learn the lesson of the role of the Holy Spirit in regards to service within the kingdom of God, within the church. And the Holy Spirit empowers us for service. Now, Moses and the 70, they were given the Holy Spirit to help the rest of the nation of Israel. The Holy Spirit is the one who creates and shapes us into the type of men and women and leaders that God desires within his kingdom. This leadership is empowerment. This leadership empowerment is for churches. But I also see it not to be used just exclusively in churches, but also in our secular jobs. God empowers us to lead even outside of the church. Imagine that. He gives us something to use outside the church, not just within. The Old Testament speaks of empowering men to do their work or their trade. In Exodus 31, the story of Bezalel and Oholiab, however you say his name, says this: I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the skill and the ability and the knowledge in all kinds of crafts. God gave him that so that he could use it to craft the ark, to craft the things for the temple, but it didn't just stop there. His craftsmanship was used for all sorts of things. You see, the Holy Spirit today empowers believers, and he does this by choosing men and women who want to serve God, just like God did with Moses and the 70 elders. We also see this in the book of Acts, that the presence of the Holy Spirit was given to all believers to serve within the church. And he would guide and direct them as they served. And this empowerment is revealed in Acts chapter 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own, or which he bought with his own blood. So as believers, we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith and faith alone. And it is important to recognize that there are several factions which contribute to the preparation of your heart filling with the Holy Spirit. First, you must desire to live a life that will please the Lord. You have the promise of the Savior. Remember what Jesus said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. as one who desires to please the Lord, you understand the need to surrender your life totally and irrevocably to our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we surrender to Him to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. A second factor is to know the truth of the Word of God. Too many today fall prey to the lies of the world, which are disguised as biblical truths. This is nothing new. Paul wrote about this. He wrote to Timothy and he said this: "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." May I tickle your ears for a moment? Sorry, I just don't do that. Paul says, don't tickle the ears. Not literally, but I am not going to stand up here and tell you a whole bunch of stuff. Everything's going to be fine. Life with Christ is a beautiful bed of roses. It never has anything wrong. Nothing ever, ever, ever is a hardship. That's not what Jesus taught us. But when we buy into these lies, when we reject the truth, and then at some point we know that you will be lied to, because at that point you'll want to be lied to, so you can feel good about yourself. You can feel good about your sin. You can say to yourself, well, my sin isn't that bad. My shortcomings don't matter. That's not even a sin anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. Folks, the Holy Spirit will never tell you something just to please you. He will lead you to truth, because believing in lies will lead you to bondage, not freedom. We must embrace the truth and reject the lies of this world. And the leaders of God need to be able to deal with the complainers, the troublemakers, the rebels. And so God gave them boldness and insight into His spiritual world. And He empowered them with the Holy Spirit to deal with this entitlement mindset of the people. The disrespectful attitudes towards God. The lack of appreciation for what God is actually doing for these people each and every day. And the Holy Spirit brings encouragement, wisdom, and strength to weather the storms of life. It is crucial, is absolutely crucial to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to be bold believers, it's the flip side to this, that each of us must not be trying to be the burden on the leadership. As a church, we shouldn't be there, yeah, how can I make Dave and the board and the deacons struggle this week? What can I do to be a stumbling block for them? If that's your attitude, boy, we've got a problem. That's not Holy Spirit-empowered living. Yes, we are all empowered by the Holy Spirit as believers, and we will have seasons of peace and comfort in the church. We will also have seasons of struggle. But Moses needed this. He needed help. Now, as I mentioned, the 70 men, they began to prophesy. And as a result, we read this. Joshua, son of Nun, verse 28, by the way, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. The Holy Spirit gave these men a special one-time gift as a sign to others that these people had the Spirit just like Moses did. God's anointing and his hand was on them. But sadly, not everyone understood what God was doing. And most surprisingly, it was this man named Joshua, who got upset. He had been the servant or the aide to Moses since he was a young man. And now he's seeing this as a threat to Moses. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what these men were saying, but I would suggest that it was something that God wanted them to say to his people. Some sort of needed guidance to their current situation, some hope in his control of their lives. I would also suggest that their message was basically corporate in nature, meaning that they were all in agreement with what was being said. Perhaps it was a general rebuke for their grumbling or a message of encouragement. Perhaps it was a challenge to hold firm to the covenant that God had made with them. Yet even with all of this amazing stuff going on, Joshua didn't understand. He was specifically upset about two of the men who were not together with the rest of them. And this is something that many of us end up doing when we don't understand. We want whatever it is to just stop. I don't understand this. It needs to stop. And Joshua saw something that made no sense to them. And he ended up rejecting it. Now, before I get too hard on Joshua, let's evaluate what's going on from his vantage point. Moses asked for help, and suddenly 70 men begin to bring forth a prophetic message. Up to this point, Moses had done this because only Moses was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now 70 other men begin to do the exact same thing. He is exhibiting a cautious attitude towards an unfamiliar and unheard of situation. No one in Israel's history had ever seen something like this happen before. Ever. He's caught off guard by the outpouring of this miracle without listening and observing what's actually taking place. Was he listening to the words that were being spoken? But Moses had this wonderful reply. "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all of the Lord's people would be prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Moses' resounding response to Joshua contrasts considerably with that of his earlier expression of complaint and despair. God, if this is how you're going to treat me, just take me now. Oh, Lord, this is amazing. I wish everybody would do this. Moses commends the Lord's movement among these two men and among the 70. And he desires that all the people would be empowered with the Spirit. Do you see Moses' prayer in this? He wished for, or in other translations, he prayed or desired that all of the Lord's people were prophets. And in doing so, they would evidence the aspirations of a closer relationship with God. You see, an undercurrent in Moses' response may be his own desire for further relief from the heavy responsibility. He may be just saying, God, 2 million people is so many to try and guide alone. I can't do this. If there were more, 70 is good, but what if we had, he doesn't go into those details, but I kind of think it might have been in his head. And Moses, very gentle, in such a so gentle way, corrects Joshua. Are you jealous? Don't be. It is my desire that everyone, even you, Joshua, have the Holy Spirit. Centuries later, the prophet Joel would echo these words. The words of Moses as he proclaimed to the people of Judah concerning the coming day of the Lord. He says this, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. If we jump forward even further into the book of Acts, Peter recalled these very words on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem when the Spirit was poured out on all believers gathered. And later, the Apostle Paul would seem to be reiterating Moses' sentiments when he shared with the struggling church in Corinth that Christians would eagerly desire the great gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. He had people of Yahweh being responsive to the Spirit of God rather than their sinful appetites. The wilderness journey would have taken on a totally different atmosphere if all of the nation of Israel had been empowered, wouldn't it have? I don't see them wandering for 40 years if they were all empowered. Things would have been vastly different. But here's where it really gets amazing. Since the birth of the church on Pentecost, every single believer has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We today have this incredible blessing that Moses prayed for. And one of the great changes that came about in the new Christian community on the day of Pentecost was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon every believer. That means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And according to the Word, we can all benefit from this Holy Spirit gifting because he gives gifts to us. And Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He also wrote to the church in Corinth so that no one would have misunderstood, had any misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit, like Joshua did. He says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. When the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment, for who he has known, or who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. We've run out of time. Sorry, but next week I believe our guest speaker is going to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to talk more about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're working on this throughout the entire summer, so keep coming back, folks. Keep coming back to learn. But after learning about the work of the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit, we must now live in the Spirit. The church is comprised of men and women who are to be living in the Spirit. A church without the Holy Spirit will produce spiritless church-filled, spiritless people who have no power to change the world, no power to change the culture, no power to change themselves. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to start living a life that is obedient to the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit like the apostles in Acts 2. We need to be empowered with the Spirit like the church in Acts. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to truth, so that our world will see the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that each and every one of us here today, whether in person or online, that we would not only have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit, but that we would understand that we are empowered by your Holy Spirit to be your church. Help us, Lord Jesus, be the people that you desire. But also, I pray that we would be the church that you desire us to be. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are everyone, everything that we need and desire. Be real to us as you empower us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.